Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we remember that Canaanite woman who came to Jesus, and remember that she would stop at nothing until what she desired was accomplished, and that is the salvation of her child. In her account, in her heart, we find the Lord's own heart. This is what He does, the full extent that He goes to bring about the salvation of His children. And so it is a great account for us to recall today. It says, at that time, Jesus departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He had been rejected by the very people He'd come to save, and now He was taking a little break from that by going to a Gentile region, people that didn't know Him. And behold, there He found a woman, a Canaanite woman, and she came crying after Him for help. Now, a Canaanite woman, it's an interesting word. Not just a woman, a Canaanite woman. What is her background? Well, she and her family line were supposed to be completely decimated, annihilated, destroyed. Man, woman, child, wiped off the face of the earth. That was their lot. They had turned against Israel long ago, and the Lord visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate them. Hate Him, excuse me, and His people. But here she is. And in a moment we see the depth of this woman's heart, her love for her child, that she would go to the only one that could help her, and she knows that in His eyes she's supposed to be killed. Right? She doesn't deserve it at all. But she comes anyway. I'm going to go to the one, I'm going to get help from the one who had ordered long ago for the desolation of my entire family line. Because He alone can help. And so she cries out to Him, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Now, David was a man after God's own heart, a shepherd of His people. And in a sense, this woman is a woman after God's own heart, because she'll stop at nothing to accomplish that which she desires, the salvation of her child. And so their hearts were as one. Certainly this man loves me. Even though I'm his enemy, I know also that he loves me. And so I'm going to go to him. She says, my daughter is severely demon-oppressed. Now, what's demon possession? It's not an 80s or 90s movie, horror film, right? They could utter blasphemies, right? Have an unholy spirit inside them, uttering blasphemies against the Lord, against His people. They could be cutting themselves, hurting themselves, causing great disruptions, feats of great strength, being thrown into fire, into water, or other such things like this. Demon possession is well accounted in the Scriptures. So she is afflicted in some way, a capacity like this. And the mom wants it gone. But surprisingly here, Jesus answers her not a word. It's a test of sorts. A test for the woman. Not a temptation, a test. And a test for the disciples. But she doesn't stop, right? She passes the test many times over. She never stops. She keeps urging and pushing. She's like the persistent widow we read about elsewhere. She just won't quit. The disciples get irritated by her and they say, Jesus, send her away, for she cries out after us now. Get rid of her. They interpreted Jesus' silence as His displeasure for the woman, but it was not. And Jesus responds, as a good shepherd does, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, His face is set like flint, it says, or we would say He's got a laser focus on His mission, His goal in life, which is to bring about the salvation of the people in His care, the sheep of Israel. But this is exactly who this woman's seeking. Right? So she comes and she falls down and she worships him and says, Lord, help me. Right? This is exactly who I'm looking for. The one who will stop at nothing to bring about salvation. When this shepherd feeds his people, he feeds them in abundance. So much so that there are baskets left over. When he fills up their cup runneth over. Certainly there's enough bread and wine for me. That's what Jesus says. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But Lord, there's enough even for me, right? She says, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. The cup runneth over. Those baskets are full. There's enough for all. In a sense, she says, you are the glory of your people, Israel, and you are my light. For in him is life, and this life is the light of men, John writes. So she rejoices in the presence of her Lord, and she does not back down. The disciples read these statements as rebukes of the woman, but she sees them as utter declarations of who he is and what he's come to do. And she rejoices. So Jesus answers and says to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This was a test. The disciples failed. The woman succeeded. She had a heart like that of our Lord. In the same way, the Lord comes to save us, for we are no better than the Canaanites. We deserve death and damnation. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return, right? We're descendants of Adam. We even read about that in our baptismal rite. We are his enemies. But Christ goes anyway, out of his great love for his Father, to accomplish the will of his Father, to seek out his children and to save them. Not only those of his own household, but now, because of the saving the household, also all those who are like little dogs. That's us. That's little Noah. A child of nature, but now by God's grace in Christ Jesus, a child of the Father. The Lord goes to take our place, and then it says, He says, I will visit the iniquity upon the children for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but show steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And that's us. That's Noah too. By God's grace in Christ Jesus, he gets salvation as well. The Lord stops at nothing. He goes to the cross on Noah's behalf, on our behalf, to die for our iniquities, to shed his blood for our forgiveness, to bring about our salvation, that we may be born again of water and the Word. And so he brings that baptism to us today. And the Lord is indignant. He's angry against any disciple who would put a barricade between the child and this water here. Indignant, mad. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, he says, for of such is the kingdom of God. And so we put no barrier here. We want this for Noah. We want this for everybody. It says, the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. But he's not old enough. He can't make a rational decision. He can't receive this gift of our Lord. Well, what does the Bible say? Baptism now saves you. It's for you and your children. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These are the words, and on account of these words, we baptize children. Another text we read today was, let the little children come to me. And that word children there in Luke's Gospel, it's brephos, which is the same word that we use and we see describing John the Baptist in the womb of his mom. The same word. There, as Mary comes with Jesus in her womb to greet Elizabeth, with John the Baptist in her womb, right? The baby, the infant, leaps for joy at the voice of Mary. And so on account of this word, we commend all children in the womb, even before they're born, into our Father's hands and the hands of Jesus. On account of this word, Lord, receive my child because of your child who died for my son, my daughter. And we know and we are assured of the fact that the Lord does receive such children in his name. So that even if they were to die in the womb, yet they are in the Father's arms. On account of this word also, we bring children after they're born to these baptismal waters, putting no barrier in their way, but so that they can receive new birth from above, that they may die with Christ, be crucified with him on the cross, and rise with him in the newness of life in his resurrection. This is the gift, this promise for all nations. And so let no one put a barrier in their way. Amen. As we continue on this journey, this is just the beginning, Noah, of our life together. So blessed are you, family, that brought Noah to these waters. I know Angela is a great desire of yours. And behold, this day, the Lord has granted the desire of your heart. And Noah was saved this very hour. Awesome. As we continue on, though, on our life together, this is just the planting of the seed, the washing of renewal. But we continue to water the seed throughout life. We teach. Jesus says, go into all nations, baptizing, teaching. There's not even the word and there. They're kind of layered on top of each other. It's a reality. We continue to bring our children to Jesus, then they may be nurtured and grow in the faith. We teach them at home the scriptures. It's our duty as parents to teach them the great works and miracles of our Lord. We continue to bring them to church, to Sunday school, that they may continue to be nurtured and flourish in God's word unto life eternal. This is our life together. So as you're doing it, Sunday school teachers or parents, as you're teaching your children at home, don't get too worried or bent out of shape that I'm probably saying too many big words or something like that, right? Doesn't matter. Right? Sometimes you put clothes on that are a little too big, right? And they grow into them, right? This is a good thing. We try to explain things in the best way possible for them to comprehend. But at the same time, do we ever understand everything the Lord has taught us? No. We're still growing in it, aren't we? So be it with the children. We love having our children in church, too. We love their cries. We love their slight disruptions. It's a beautiful thing. It's a reminder that God's church is alive and active. And it's a blessing to us in two ways. First, for me, because when they're acting up, I got to speak a lot louder, right? And be more intentional with what I'm saying. And you have to listen more intently, don't you? And what a blessing that is for a child to make some little bit of noise to bring that forth for us. What a blessing. He works all things for good, our Father. Amen. And so, yes, we want them in service. Certainly there's a cry room we have back there. It's okay to go back there, right? It's open to you. But we're not trying to shove our kids out like so many churches do. Get them out of here. This is just for the adults. Right? Exclusive club here. For those that are rational beings. Right? No, we love the children here. And they're soaking up even just a little bit every single time. They're soaking it up. Right? God be praised for that. And lastly, I just want to say, Noah, what the Lord has begun in you, he will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.